واذكر في الكتاب موسى إنه كان مخلصا وكان رسولا نبيا.
And recite in the book the account of Moses, peace be upon him. He was a chosen person, a messenger, a prophet. And recite in the book the account of Moses, peace be upon him. He was a chosen person.
The word mukhlas used here denotes he who had been selected by God as exclusively his own.
A messenger, a prophet.
The word rasul literally means the one sent. For this reason, it is used to denote the envoy, the message bearer, the emissary, the ambassador. In the Quran, it is employed for angels who are entrusted by God with some special mission, or for those human beings who are assigned the task of communicating His message to His creatures. Lexicographers disagree as to the exact meaning of the word Nabi. Some consider it to be the derivative of the word Naba'a and denotes to give news, and hence the word Nabi means someone who brings news. Others consider it to be derived from Nabu, meaning height and elevation. Accordingly, Nabi is a person who holds a high elevated position. Quoting the authority of Al-Kisai Al-Azari, has put forward an altogether different source, Nabiya, meaning way. Thus, a Nabi is someone who directs to the way that leads to God. In sum, when someone is called Rasul Nabi, it either means a messenger of high standing, a messenger who brings news from God, or a messenger who directs people to the way leading to God. So far as the two words Nabi and Rasul are concerned, they are generally used in the Quran as equivalents. We note that on some occasions a person is referred to simply as Rasul, messenger, whereas on others he is called Nabi, prophet. On yet further occasions, both words are used in conjunction with each other for the same person. There are also instances where the two words are employed in such a manner which distinguishes between a prophet and a messenger in respect of their status or the nature of their assignment. For instance, in Surah Al-Hajj, it is said, "Never did we send a messenger or a prophet before you except," Al-Hajj 22:52. This clearly indicates that the messenger and the prophet represent two distinct entities. As a result, commentators on the Quran have engaged in serious discussions about the nature of these differences between a prophet and a messenger. The fact, however, remains that these scholars have failed to persuasively establish the precise nature of any difference between a messenger and a prophet. All that can be said with certainty is that the word messenger, Rasul, has a more restrictive connotation than the word prophet, Nabi. Hence, while every messenger is a prophet, every prophet does not enjoy the status of a messenger. In other words, Rasul, messenger, is used for those great figures who had been assigned duties of greater significance than those assigned to mere prophets. This point is further corroborated by the tradition reported by Ahmed ibn Hanbal from Abu Umama and by Hakim and Abu Dhar. According to this tradition, Muhammad, peace be upon him, was asked about the number of messengers. He replied that they were 313 or 315 in number, whereas when asked about the number of prophets, he mentioned their number to be 124,000. Although the chains of transmission of this hadith are weak, it has been reported in such a variety of ways and to such a great extent that this weakness is compensated for.
وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيًّا.
We called out to him from the right side of the mount, and we drew him near to us by communing to him in secret. We called out to him from the right side of the mount.
The right side of Mount Tur, for instance Sinai, refers to its eastern side. The prophet Moses, peace be upon him, on his way from Midian to Egypt, took the route which passes the southern side of the mount. Were anyone to look at the mount from its southern side, the east would be to his right, and the western side would be to his left. Hence, it is with context to the prophet Moses' vantage point, peace be upon him, that the eastern side is mentioned as lying to the right. Devoid of that reference, it is quite obvious that a mountain as such can neither have any right side nor any left.
and we drew him near to us by communing to him in secret.
For further explanation, see towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 2, Al-Nisa 4, Note 206, paragraphs 114 to 15.
وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ نَبِيًّا.
And out of our mercy, we appointed his brother, Aaron, peace be upon him, a prophet, that he may assist him.
وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَاعِيلَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا.
And recite in the book the account of Ishmael, peace be upon him. He was ever true to his promise and was a messenger, a prophet.
وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة والزكاة وكان عند ربه مرضيا.
He enjoined his household to observe prayer and to give zakah, purifying alms, and his Lord was well pleased with him.
واذكر في الكتاب إدريس إنه كان صديقا نبيا.
And recite in the book the account of Idris, peace be upon him. He was a man of truth, a prophet. And recite in the book the account of Idris.
There is some disagreement concerning the prophet Idris, Enoch, peace be upon him. Whilst some scholars regard him as an Israeli prophet, the majority of scholars believe that Enoch lived at a time prior even to that of the prophet Noah, peace be upon him. There are authentic hadiths to help us establish the historicity of the prophet Enoch, peace be upon him. However, there seems to be some indication at one place in the Quran that he did appear before the time of Noah, peace be upon him. These are the prophets upon whom Allah bestowed His favor from the seed of Adam, and from the seed of those whom we carried in the ark with Noah, peace be upon him, and from the seed of Abraham and Israel, peace be upon them. Verse 58. Of the messengers mentioned here, John, Jesus, and Moses, peace be upon them, are descendants of Israel and Ishmael, Isaac and Jacob, are descendants of Abraham, and Abraham is a descendant of Noah, peace be upon them. This leaves only Idris, and it is him alone that the expression descendant of Adam might be applied. It should also be pointed out that commentators on the Quran generally believe that the biblical figure of Enoch is identical with the prophet called Idris in the Quran, peace be upon him. The biblical account of Enoch is narrated as follows. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah 300 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5, 21-4. Israelite traditions in the Talmud describe Enoch in greater detail, peace be upon him. These traditions state that at some time before the advent of the prophet Noah, peace be upon him, people had taken to evil ways, and that it was then that God's angel cried out the following to Enoch, peace be upon him, who up until then had lived in seclusion and who was devoted to a life of asceticism. Arise, go forth from thy solitude and walk among the people of the land. Teach them the way they should go, and instruct them in the actions they should perform. And Enoch did as the Lord commanded him. He walked among the people and taught them the ways of the Creator, assembling them together and addressing them in earnestness and truth. And Enoch, peace be upon him, reigned over the human race for 350 years. In justice and righteousness he ruled, and peace blessed the land during all this period. The Talmud selections, paragraphs 18 to 21.
وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا.
And we exalted him to a lofty position. And we exalted him to a lofty position.
The statement here simply means that God granted Enoch, peace be upon him, a high position. Under the influence of Israelite traditions, however, many Muslims have come to believe that God raised him to the heavens. So far as the Bible is concerned, it only claims that he disappeared. The Talmudic account, however, is embellished with a great many details. It ends with the following statement: "And on the seventh day, Enoch, peace be upon him, ascended to heaven in a whirlwind with chariot and horses of fire." The Talmud Selections, paragraph 21.
أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين من ذرية آدم ومن من حملنا مع نوح ومن ذرية إبراهيم وإسرائيل ومن من هدينا واجتبينا إذا تتلى عليهم آيات الرحمن خروا سجدا وبكيا.
These are the prophets upon whom Allah bestowed His favor from the seed of Adam, peace be upon him, and from the seed of those whom we carried in the ark with Noah, peace be upon him, and from the seed of Abraham and Israel, peace be upon them. They were those whom we guided and chose for an exalted position. They were such that when the words of the Most Compassionate Lord were recited to them, they fell down in prostration, weeping.
فخلف من بعدهم خلف أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا.
They were succeeded by a people who neglected the prayers and pursued their lusts. They shall presently meet with their doom. They were succeeded by a people who neglected the prayers and pursued their lusts.
They either gave up observing prayers or became indifferent or negligent to them. In fact, negligence and abandoning prayer are the very first step in a people's slide towards their decline. For prayer is the primary link between man and God. Prayer keeps a person constantly in touch with God during all hours of the day and night. Prayer prevents a person from moving away from a life of devotion, worship, and obedience of Him. As soon as this bond is broken, man increasingly begins to draw away from God. This may even happen to such an extent that not only is man's relationship with God reduced to naught on a practical level, but also on an intellectual level. It is for this reason that the Quran expounds here a general rule, that the corruption in a nation which originally followed a prophet began the moment that nation abandoned prayer.
They shall presently meet with their doom.
Following one's lusts and desires rather than truth and justice naturally results from the weakening of one's God consciousness. When a person becomes heedless of God and abandons prayer, he comes increasingly into the grip of his own carnal desires. Eventually, he becomes impervious to all God's commands, despite the fact that these had earlier shaped his morality and conduct. Instead, bit by bit, he begins to follow all those ways which conform to his own likes and dislikes.
إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا.
Except those who repent and believe and act righteously, such shall enter paradise and shall not be wronged at all.
جنات عدن التي وعد الرحمن عباده بالغيب إنه كان وعده مأتيا.
Theirs shall be everlasting gardens which the Most Compassionate Lord has promised His servants in a realm which is beyond the ken of perception. Surely His promise shall be fulfilled. Theirs shall be everlasting gardens, which the Most Compassionate Lord has promised His servants in a realm which is beyond the ken of perception.
This refers to the gardens promised to the believers by God, gardens which are beyond the ken of their senses.
لا يسمعون فيها لغوا إلا سلاما ولهم رزقهم فيها بكرة وعشيا.
They shall not hear in it anything vain. They shall hear only what is good, and they shall have their provision in it, morning and evening. They shall not hear in it anything vain. They shall hear only what is good.
The word used here, salam, denotes that which is free from all flaws and imperfections. Of the numerous blessings bestowed on man in paradise, one of these will be that he will not encounter anything vulgar, stupid, or filthy. The prevailing atmosphere in paradise will be one of elegance and decency, and all its inmates will be people possessed of good taste. Hence, all those who abide in paradise will hear neither abuse, nor slander, nor obscenity. Their ears will hear only those things which are good and decent. The import of this great blessing can only be appreciated by people whose tastes have not been impaired. Such persons can well appreciate what a torture it is for a person of good taste to be placed in a milieu where he is exposed to lies, slander, mischievous statements, obscenity, and vulgarity.
Such is the paradise which we shall cause those of our servants who have been God-fearing to inherit.
وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا.
The angels will say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, we descend not except by the command of your Lord. To him belongs all that is before us, and all that is behind us, and all that is in between. Your Lord is not forgetful in the least. The angels will say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him.
This whole paragraph is in fact a parenthetical statement which marks the conclusion of one discourse and which serves as a prelude to another. The style adopted here suggests that this surah was revealed sometime after the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions had gone through trying circumstances, whereby they constantly waited for revelation to guide and comfort them. This time gap in revelation, therefore, distressed them greatly. It was against this background that Gabriel came down to the Prophet, peace be upon him, along with a retinue of other angels. First of all, he proclaimed that command which was urgently required under the circumstances, but before proceeding further, he said something which at once explained his prolonged absence. He spoke words of comfort from God, as well as an exhortation to the believers to remain patient and restrained. What is said above is not only borne out by internal evidence, it is also corroborated by several traditions which have been quoted by Al-Tabari, Ibn Kathir, and Al-Alusi, the author of Ru' al-Ma'ni, in their works of Quranic exegesis.
رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا.
He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between. Serve Him, then, and be constant in serving Him. Do you know anyone that might be His compeer? He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between. Serve Him, then, and be constant in serving Him.
Believers are directed to steadfastly adhere to God's service and to bear all the sufferings which they might encounter with patience. They are told that if there occurs any delay in providing them with support and comfort, they should not lose heart. An obedient believer is required to be content in all circumstances with God's will and to persevere with full determination in the task assigned to him as God's servant.
Do you know anyone that might be his compeer?
The word sami means namesake or homonym. The purpose of the statement is to emphasize that God alone is the one true God, and no one else holds that position. And if indeed there is no other God, and they know that this is the case, there is no other than Him to worship and serve.